Time now for Fort McMurray Matters on Mix 103.7. All the topics and issues that matter to you and your family. Brought to you by Culligan Water, Fort McMurray Orthodontics, and by Cooper & Company Law Firm.
Good afternoon and welcome to this edition of Fort McMurray Matters. I'm Elizabeth Priest. Joining me in studio today is two people from the Fort McMurray Public School District. We have Superintendent Doug Nichols and Director of Technology Ali Syed. How are you guys doing today?
Tremendous. Thanks for having us on the program.
Well, thank you for joining me. So we have a lot of technology to talk about today, which is why you are here. Before we get into any of that, we'll just touch on the school board meeting that happened on November 29th, last Wednesday. One of the big topics of the day was Composite High School's name change, as we have spoken about it previously on the show before and in the news. So ultimately recommended just to keep the name. So as you said, big support, keep the name the same. What was the discussion period like, and how important was it to listen to what people wanted and keep everything status quo?
Well, the conversation that happened online and with individuals really drove the decision, the recommendation that we made to the board. We never actually asked for a vote on the name change because it was our feeling that the kind of the community had spoken. We had a petition arrive with some students' name of about, I think, 80 or 90 signatures. We had about 600 responses. Wow. To the community questionnaire. And the vast majority of people wanted the name to remain the same. So with that, we recommended the board that exactly happen, that we stick with the name, and we look to continue to grow the programs in the school to make it an even better place for students and staff.
And with those people who you heard from, did you get reasons as to why they wanted to keep the name the same?
We did. There's tremendous tradition and history in the school. Once a minor, always a minor. Mm-hmm. I went to comp. We got this from students, parents, grandparents, and community members as a whole. I would say probably 90% of the respondents wish the name to stay the same.
Shortly after the recommendation was made, we spoke to Linda Mywert, your board chair, and she said she was surprised that we saw such a big response from the community. Is that your feeling as well?
I knew there would be support for Composite High School and the minors, but I think, yeah, too, I was surprised that it was in a positive way entrenched in the community. We were really pleased that it actually really moved the conversation along about the school. I mean, it's the oldest high school. Let's put it another way. This is the high school with most experience in the community. And it was really refreshing and rewarding to hear that so many people had such fond memories of Composite High School. And so it wasn't really a difficult recommendation to make to the board.
My co-host, Steve, is just more concerned that his artwork from when he attended 15 years ago is still up in the school. So we're going to have to go investigate that.
Well, I don't know about that with the modernization. But,
yeah, exactly.
But I do know that there's so many fond memories. And we look forward to capturing some of that support and that passion, because really that's what it was, really passion for the school, you know, as we move forward. So we'll actually be looking at Melissa Blake, former mayor, of course, of Wood Buffalo, who will be helping us in that endeavor. We'll get some more feedback. We'll set up some focus groups. We'll kind of see where we can go with the school. Some tremendously exciting programs in the school already, but we look to add to those as we move forward.
And getting her knowledge on different programs and stuff, or what's that for?
Well, she fits the once a minor, always a minor.
Yeah.
So as a Composite High School grad, she has the same kinds of feelings and history and passion that many other local residents have in our community. I know she's been asked to serve on multiple boards and committees and so forth, and her time is precious. Of course, she spent so much time giving to the community in the mayoral position, and for us to ask her and to her to accept to join us, you know, we're really, really thrilled about that. So I've met with Melissa a couple times now, and I know she will give us some excellent direction, excellent suggestions. She's done that already, and that will make a big difference as we move forward, as we try and reconnect with all the minor grads and the people in the community who just feel so strongly that Composite High School is such an important part of our community history.
And implement some of these as the modernization wraps up?
Yeah, very, very true. That modernization should be finished by the end of June. The front of the school still looks a little bit questionable, but it's certainly improved over the months. The interior of the building, of course, is really starting to look good, and there's plenty of student opportunities there in terms of space, crush areas. There'll be more natural lighting. We really feel good about the project overall in terms of how much is done so far. But then beyond that, when it's completed, it will be just an excellent learning environment for students.
And for those who may not know, that's kind of what started this initial conversation about the name change, as it's going through a big modernization. Let's give it a brand new name. But clearly, people don't want that, and it's staying the same.
No, and again, you know, people ask me, "Well, are you disappointed? You know, were you pushing for this name change?" It came out of a, you know, kind of some committee work as one of the possibilities about how to align with the modernization. You're quite right, Elizabeth. What I'm pleased about is what I've mentioned. That is, the support for the school is so strong, and when you have that kind of support in the school. And you have that kind of support in the community, only good things are going to happen with the programming and the overall operation of the school as we move forward.
Yeah, that must be refreshing to know that there is so much support for your schools in your district, because sometimes you just go about your day all the time, and sometimes, a lot of times, you just hear complaints because sometimes those are louder. So you really got a strong voice and strong support.
I think, you know, a good way to describe it is what Kevin Bergen, principal, indicated. He said it actually really changed the conversation about comp away from construction, modernization, being the oldest building, you know, into where do we go on a move forward basis. Wow, it was a great school when I, you know, when I was there. I know it's still a really good school, but let's make it even better. So the whole dialogue about Composite High School really was altered through this process. And that's not like rose-colored glasses trying to spin something. That's fact. So we're very appreciative of the people who gave us feedback on this direction. And now we have a clear view of what we need to do to move forward.
Perfect. Well, we're going to take a quick break, but we'll be back with more after these commercials. I'm Elizabeth Priest, and this is Fort McMurray Matters.
You're listening to Fort McMurray Matters on Mix 103.7. Brought to you by Fort McMurray Orthodontics, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and by Culligan Water. We'll be right back after this. Now, back to Fort McMurray Matters on Mix 103.7. Brought to you by Culligan Water, Fort McMurray Orthodontics, and by Cooper & Company Law Firm.
Welcome back to Fort McMurray Matters. I'm Elizabeth Priest. If you're just tuning into the show today, once again, joining me in studio is two members of the Fort McMurray Public School District. We have Superintendent Doug Nichols and Director of Technology Ali Syed. So all this week, it's kind of, is it wrapping up today on Friday? It is the Hour of Code.
That's right.
Yeah, right. So for those who don't know, what are students doing during this Hour of Code?
So this is our second year of doing the Hour of Code program. It's initially designed by industry stakeholders to get more students interested in computer sciences and computer science related technologies and studies. In our school district, we have been fortunate that we have amazing support from our staff, students, and parents in that we have kids participating in the Hour of Code at various skill levels. Mm-hmm. In some schools, we have gone all the way from a K level of computer programming all the way up to grade six. So the degree of difficulty and that coding kind of varies, but it's all about problem solving, teamwork, collaboration, communication, and learning that computer sciences are fun and they're progressive and there's a worthwhile career there. For kids at the higher grades, they start to go into a more sophisticated version of Hour of Code programming, and they start to learn you know, some of the basics of JavaScript or Python or C++, and they begin to materialize that what they're learning has real world applications.
Huge.
And that they can do some really cool things. They can, instead of just, you know, buying and playing video games, they can create the video games. Instead of just buying apps on a phone store, like an Apple store, the Google Play store, they can make these things. So they move from being passive consumers to active producers. And I think we're really fortunate that we have almost conservatively 1600 to 1800 of our kids this year doing that. Optimistically, we're trying for 2000. And
it's still a large number.
Oh, phenomenal. Last year was our first year doing it, and we had about 1,000 kids conservatively doing it. This year, we're excited because we have two schools, Walter Gladys Hill and Christina Gordon, who are near 100% participation rate. And that's amazing.
So is coding taught in all your schools within the district?
Coding is now taught in different degrees in all of our schools at different levels of sophistication. And the superintendent has been quite pivotal in that role playing and leadership in getting the schools to recognize that as 21st century centers for learning, these are some of the skills that will be fundamental for jobs that we don't even know exist today.
Well, and reports have come out and said 10 years from now, even 5 years from now, here's what is going to be really needed. And this is one of them. Just things related to technology.
And how things in our technological world are interrelated. And we are moving now from an age of industrialization to an age of information and automation. So our eras of information and automation rely on people who have those 21st century skills. And I think our school district is leading that at the forefront in many ways in our province, in terms of our robotics tournaments being the largest in the province, in terms of our, you know, our academies, our after-school programs, or our in-school programs that allow kids to not just learn curriculum, but master some skills that will take them far further than we could have ever imagined.
Have you seen the interest? So you've been with the public school district for about 10 years now. Have you seen the interest, the level of interest for students going into technology classes or pursuing a post-secondary education related to technology increase over the years that you've been involved?
Oh, absolutely. When we when I first came to Fort McMurray and we started on the long track to look at robotics and look at technology in our schools, we had to go back and see what we were teaching versus what the kids really wanted to do. And we have phenomenal teachers who kind of took the reins of this in amazing programs like Westwood, and they just transformed it from just learning things that you and I might have learned, how to do keyboarding, and they moved it into how to build the keyboard, how to build the computer, how to retrofit automated devices so it will do something completely different. And we've seen some explosive growth. If you just look at our robotics program, we started in our district with three teams. Last year we had 54 teams and more than 540 kids actively participating in a one-day tournament.
And they've gone on from not just competing in Fort McMurray, they've gone on to nationals.
If you look at our amazing schools, Westwood, we've had phenomenal teams who have gone on to from regionals to provincials to nationals to internationals. We have an amazing junior high, Ecole McTavish, who likewise have such strong students based upon their staff and the guidance that the staff have given, that they've gone on to worldwide recognition. It's amazing.
And you've also received some recognition in the last few weeks from the Alberta School Board Association, the Excellence in Innovation Award. So for those who don't know, what is that award? And this isn't your first time applying for it, would you say? But this is your first time grabbing the title.
Well, thanks for that question. We're very proud of the fact that we actually were awarded that top recognition at the recent Alberta School Boards Association annual conference. There are over 60 school districts in the in Alberta, and last year we were fortunate enough to get down to the final three with the Keanu Composite High School Broadcasting Initiative. This year we were able to top that with Ali's leadership and that of others in the department, so from the school level. We actually received the top award this year in that category, and that is the top award in the province from the Alberta School Boards Association. So it really revolves around the Tech Trade Academy. We have approximately 550 students and growing involved in these programs. And there's just so much support from the schools and the parents, who of course are delighted that their students or their children are having that opportunity to learn after school in this academy. And one of the conditions for this award is that it kind of be able to be replicated throughout the province, and it has to be truly innovative. And you can imagine our delight and our surprise, really, when we attended the awards presentation evening, and lo and behold, Fort McMurray Public School District was recognized for this prestigious award. So hats off to Ali, all his team, who really had, really brought it from ground level up. And we know that that program is going to continue to grow. And I know as well, Ali's met with me recently. Of course, the plans never stop, and the programs never stop growing. And there's some exciting news ahead for students and parents and staff in the weeks and months ahead as we continue to look at what the kids need for their future.
And as someone who has played a role within receiving this award, what does it mean to you?
Well, it's been a great recognition for the hard work for not just myself, but for all of the staff that have contributed to the success of the Tech Trade Academy. This is our year three. Again, we started very simplistically with two schools in it. Last year, we went to five schools. This year, we're in about 10 schools in different programming modalities. And it's just an amazing recognition of the immense amount of work to get something not just started, but to get it to take off. And the taking off is of importance, because when we go back to the fundamental question, it is, how do we get students to get excited? How do we get that spark to ignite into a true lifelong life of learning and innovation, mm-hmm. regarding technology and new future tech that we don't even know exists? And so that's where that Technology Academy kind of spurs from. And recognition from the Alberta School Boards Association is just a cherry on top of that.
Perfect. We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be back with more after these commercials. I'm Elizabeth Priest, and you're listening to Fort McMurray Matters.
You're listening to Fort McMurray Matters on Mix 103.7. Brought to you by Fort McMurray Orthodontics, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and by Culligan Water. We'll be right back after this. Now, back to Fort McMurray Matters on Mix 103.7. Brought to you by Culligan Water, Fort McMurray Orthodontics, and by Cooper & Company Law Firm.
Welcome back to Fort McMurray Matters. I'm Elizabeth Priest. If you're just tuning into the show today, once again, joining me in studio is two members of the Fort McMurray Public School District. We have Superintendent Doug Nichols and the Director of Technology, Ali Syed. Before the break, we were talking about all the technology and programs that are within the public school district, including the district being recognized by the Alberta School Board Association Excellence in Innovation Award. So congratulations again on that. And you have also recently received many donations, one being $46,000 going towards your hardware. So maybe just talk a bit about what these funds will be used for.
So we're very excited about this generous donation from the Lions of Alberta Foundation, LOAF, because it helps us to reach that goal of moving the technology from where you and I might have had the technology in a very static standard room where the tech doesn't leave. Mm-hmm. It's a very special room where kids go into and then they vacate and then another group comes in, to more of an active use of the technology because it's now portable. So the technology goes where the learning is. The kids don't have to kind of go to a special room. Every room is special. And so with this donation, we hope to be able to supply our schools with some instructional technologies like the Chromebooks and more portable telemetry type devices to really get the kids to solidify their learning with hands-on programming from the teachers. So I just wanted to be quite clear, because sometimes we sit there and we have that chicken and egg kind of question about technology versus pencil and paper. Mm-hmm. This isn't necessarily to replace that. This is to enhance that experience. And so we're really excited about the generous donation there. We had an amazing donation earlier from Samsung, who generously gave us $140,000 in portable technologies for the schools. And that impact is starting to see in its proliferation by the students and their comfortability in using it for day-to-day learning. We've had some amazing support from generous local community stakeholders. Syncrude has been very generous with our robotics programs and our coding programs. AutoPro Automation here in town have been very, very supportive of the coding and tech trade academies and robotics. So all of this comes together to really help us move from a very static version of technology, mm-hmm. to a portable and adaptable sense of using the tech.
And I think when you mentioned the debate between the pencil and paper and the tech, what you're using this technology for is something that can't be done with paper and pencil. It's not English language arts. It's developing software where you need this technology.
Right, and it moves from simply looking at a biology textbook or a pre-medical lesson that might just be on paper. We do those, but we move ahead on that where the kids are now actively engaged in looking at a 3D anatomically correct model of maybe a liver or a heart, or they're looking at the lungs. So they have access to technologies that go well above just using a static textbook. That textbook is still pivotal, mm-hmm. but we wanted an enhancement to that so that kids can take abstract ideas and make it more concrete.
How hard is it with technology ever changing, making sure that your students do have the latest technology to do what needs to be done and be taught?
So we always are very aware of the fact that we don't want to be on the bleeding edge of the curve, but we also don't want to be on the horse and buggy end of that curve. Mm-hmm. We want to kind of stay in the middle. And so the challenge has always been, as educators, to get that natural flow. And to be honest, we do yearly reviews mm-hmm. of where that technology is. We do that at the district level, and then we do that at the school level, and we get active engagement from our staff to kind of give us a sense of where it is. We talk to fellow school boards here in the province. We are constantly looking at the greater sense of where education is kind of going internationally as well. And we bring that all back and we kind of filter it down to what is the best position that we can be in to kind of make these decisions on where that tech needs to go. Mm-hmm. And I think we've kind of been really conservative, but fruitful in how we have laid down that foundation. So we haven't just went all iPad or gone all laptop or a Windows 10. We've kind of looked at it and said it should be holistic, that we have multiple solutions mm-hmm. because one, we have varied learners in our schools. And two, more importantly, one solution doesn't fit all. Mm-hmm. And so when we have a wide-ranging amount of technologies like Chromebooks or iPads or a laptop or a portable telemetry device of some kind, we broaden the opportunities for the kids.
Well, is there anything else that you would like to add before we go on any of this?
I think it's an interesting time for all of us, regardless of age, mm-hmm. with the technological changes. It doesn't matter what age group one's in. We've got to do our best, in my opinion, to stay abreast of it. And so I'm amazed at what our kids are doing, but I just think that that's just so important. And as I was speaking to some students yesterday at high school, big time change for them right now, but it's going to continue throughout their life. Mm-hmm. And so they better be prepared for lifelong learning and continuous growth themselves personally as we go through the next wave of the technological era.
Perfect. Anything else you would like to add, Ellie?
I think we live in the age of information and automation. We're at the beginning stages of it, and I have to agree with the superintendent. I think that those changes will continue for our students, and making them lifelong learners is the more advantage that they have. I think the other thing that we kind of always forget as adults is that our greatest single capital in Alberta or Canada nationally is the human intelligence capital. And we have an enormous amount of very bright kids in this area. And our opportunities in the public school district just give these kids an outlet to make them enhance their learning and gives them an outlet to see what they can do with that learning.
And it's being recognized, whether it's at science fairs at a province. One of your Westwood students was at the Prime Minister's Science Fair, one of 30 students in Canada. So you're seeing the results of what's being put in.
Yeah, we are. We're really delighted with how our students are progressing, and we certainly look for some exciting times in the years ahead.
Perfect. Well, we will stay tuned to what is coming when we'll have you again on the show, as we always do every month. So thank you for joining me on the show today. Much appreciated.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
And that is our show for today. We will be back again on Monday from noon to 12:30 right here on Mix 103.7. I'm Elizabeth Priest, and you've been listening to Fort McMurray Matters.
This has been another edition of Fort McMurray Matters on Mix 103.7. Brought to you by Cooper & Company Law Firm, Culligan Water, and by Fort McMurray Orthodontics. If you have a question or a comment about today's topic or have an idea for a future show, please contact the news department by emailing mixnews@mix1037fm.com.